What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hey, what's happening? Jason Marsden here, a.k.a. Max Goof. And you're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring the coffee-drinking Dan.
Hi there.
Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Oh boy. Make sure you check out our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Shorts, and TikTok.
See, also check out our website, www.limitlessbroadcasting.com, for not just all of our merch and news, but everybody else's. There's lots, yes. Lots of things to see.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. Yes.
Yes. Oh goodness. Okay. Pixie Dusters, I'm ticked off. I'm
yeah,
so
just
excited.
Found some news that none of us like right now. We're not happy about it.
I am so ticked off. I saw this online. It didn't tell me that it was only going to be in California until Sammy told me right now. I saw on a reel that Princess Leia was going to start at Galaxy's Edge. So I assumed, you know, us too. No, she's only going to be in flipping California. I am so angry. Why does California get all the freaking good meet and greets with Star Wars? I don't understand.
Well, my question is, when are we all planning a trip to California so we can live stream it?
It's probably cheaper than going to Disney World at this point.
Probably.
Just tossing that out there.
It's on the list. Wouldn't
that be great? The Pixie Dusters go on location.
It's on the list.
I mean, it is on the list. We're wanting to do it at some point.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Technically, we could do it at Disney World in January, because that's when I'll be there. Mm-hmm. But
there's no Princess Leia.
No, there's no. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of them giving Disneyland everything and not us. I mean, I know we're getting Villains Land, but still.
Yeah, in like well, 5 years. Castle,
I know. It's going to take so long.
Our castle is better, but that's a fair point.
Oh, by far. Yeah, our castle is huge compared to theirs. Apparently, theirs is like...
I've heard that. I've heard it's like even smaller than it looks in like videos and stuff.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I watched a video.
Just like, that's it?
Yeah, I watched a video of somebody like going to Disneyland the first time and they like went up to the castle and are like, I'm what? What? This? No.
I would do a reaction video just for that.
We would have to.
Have to like cover my eyes. Okay, are we there? That's it?
That's it?
Need a magnifying glass. Look at the magnifying glass. Like,
oh my God, that'd be great. Bring a magnifying glass. Like, I think I can see it.
I think like the regular Disneylanders would be so ticked at us.
That'd be hilarious.
It'd be so funny.
Yeah. They got better exhibits than us. They'll be fine.
They know it's small. It's fine.
Yeah, they do. Oh my gosh. I mean, really, there's not much that they have that we don't have. I mean, they have Marvel Campus, but I'm not mad about that because I don't care. Sammy probably cares a little.
I think it looks cool. They got flying Spider-Man and everything, and we have nothing. So.
Yeah, they do have the best characters in Disneyland, which is very annoying.
They do.
But their parks are smaller. They only have 2 parks. Their downtown Disney looks tiny.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we would do their parks and stuff in like 2 days.
I think you really can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like here, where you need a full week to do everything.
You need like a full month if you want to hit literally everything you want to do.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. The only thing I'm very jealous of is they just walk across like this divide to go to the next park.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, they literally walk there.
Wait, what? You get to walk?
And we're over here like...
I gotta take a boat to a ticket center and then a monorail and then a bus.
Or you gotta take a Skyliner or you gotta take a monorail and then get on another monorail. And yeah, it's a whole lot.
Pay the toll to the, pay the toll to the deaf man to ferry you across the way.
It's basically like that. It's basically that, yes.
Oh, that's the other thing I heard. Sammy, have you been there lately?
Not like recently, on a monorail? On a monorail? Oh, are you talking about when it got stuck?
No. Oh, I am talking about apparently in recent weeks, you can start hearing ladies and gentlemen again.
Oh, I did just hear that.
Spiel on the monorail.
I did hear they did update that, which is so much better. The monorail rides just, they lost some of the uniqueness, the fun of it. It did start to feel more just like transportation. Yep. Because they weren't doing all the fun, magical spiels, the pre-recordings, all of that they used to. So it wasn't whimsical.
Nothing. Literally nothing. They just took it away.
You know, we're about ready to get into the stop at the Contemporary. Please stay clear of the doors. You know, and you're like.
DEI.
Okay. Yeah.
DEI.
What was DEI about it? Like, what was like.
Because they said ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Because it does not reference all types of
people
pronoun acknowledgement.
Well, I mean, they could. Okay. I mean, they could just keep the pronoun. They could always just keep the thing and just change that part. Like, I don't know why they had to get rid of the, like, throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Because the DEA, the DEA department that they had just went way too far. I mean, it's shut down now. They shut down that department and are trying to, like, even things out and make it more, like, central instead of, like, so far over that you're being crazy. I mean, there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance because everyone is different, yes. But there has to be some sort of balance for everyone, not just the
minority
pronouns and all the newer, I don't even know how to say it. I'm not trying to sound... I know this is sounding very like I don't like any of them, but that's not what I just don't know how to say it.
Get off
right now.
We're going to kick her off.
Yeah. Be gone. Get out of here.
Just because there are new identities does not mean we have to forget about the people who have the old identities. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's overkill. I mean, they didn't have to like overkill it. Like, yeah. You know, change the first part and then keep the whimsy, but like update it a little bit. Like,
yeah.
They didn't have to go like, you know, they didn't have to throw it out all entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now they're bringing it back. So we have the ladies and gentlemen, please stand clear of the doors. Tango, I can never say
por favor.
It.
Por favor.
Por favor, manténgase
alejado de Andalucía. Yes. Yeah.
Puertas. Yes. So that's back. And apparently some of those other things are back. So
All right. We're
slowly getting some of our whimsy back. Mm-hmm.
But did you see the thing when the monorail got stuck and all the people were like popping the windows out because it was hot and smelly?
No.
You didn't see that? You should look it up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like it got stuck and just totally shut down where the air conditioning was gone?
The monorail's like smell. So I think that was part of the problem.
No, even with AC, it's a very tight knit space. You can
When you have too many people in there, it's gonna be BO. Because they're probably
there's
all
a lot going
sweating.
On the monorails. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember where it got stuck, but yeah, it was stuck long enough people were popping the windows out. So yeah.
Monorail stuck Disney. Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was 8th, like 5 minutes and these people are dramatic. I don't know. It was implied it was a while.
Was it in Florida or was it in Disneyland?
I thought it was here.
Looks the like only thing that's coming up for me is, oh wait, what's this? Monorail teal suffers breakdown on Epcot line.
There it is. I think that's
trapped guest remove window.
That's the one. Yeah. Okay. So it's the Epcot line. Yeah.
It is the Epcot line.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally goes 7 days a week, 365 days a year, almost 24 hours. Like, there's going to be a breakdown every once in a while.
And these are the
same ones from, like,
1960.
They're
old,
70,
man.
Whatever.
70s. Yeah, they're old. They're old. They need to be updated.
The system is old.
Yeah.
For being that old and running that constantly, only a few breakdowns is actually, like, kind of pretty impressive.
Yeah. Really, truly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you would think that they would see how well this is a transportation, that this would be implemented in, like, cities. I would take a monorail to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, the thing, right? Wasn't Disney trying to be like, look at this. This is a legit transportation thing. And
yes.
No.
Yeah, but, you know, how can the oil companies make money off that? Because you won't be paying for gas.
Yeah, but all the oil companies are overseas, and right now they're gouging us. So, you know, I would take it.
It's just because America is stupid, so.
Capitalism, my friends, capitalism.
Not just America. Apparently Israel also screwed over, like, we were going to do a ceasefire, and then Israel screwed it and bombed somebody else.
Everybody is stupid. There we go.
Everyone is stupid. Anybody in power is stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Except me. If I was in power, I would not be.
Dan, no. You're not allowed.
Everyone's stupid except me. And I'm the only one who has absolute power. I'm the only one who deserves it. I'm the only one who knows how to do it.
I already don't like all of the statements about I'm the only one who deserves it. Absolute power.
See?
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear Lord. He has the ring.
Oh, boy.
I need to get on. Oh, dear Lord. Who kept you in rain in college? We need to get them.
Say what?
Who kept you under control in college? We need to grab them real
Obviously
quick.
Not you.
No, it wasn't me.
Good question.
Did you have a Wrangler in college, or did you just not show this side?
I just didn't show that side very often. Huh. I showed it more I think, like, my roommate at the time, Rocky, was probably the one who saw, like, the most crazy. Even then, I don't know, I think I just hadn't fully let it out entirely.
Yeah, I don't think you did. You slowly let it out to us, so it didn't scare us.
Well, now the beast is out.
A little bit.
Well.
But y'all know too much, so I can't let you go. All right, moving on. We're going to move over to Voyage of the Dawn Treader because he's starting to scare me.
Yeah, let's keep this moving.
We're on our last week of Books to Media, and we are talking Chronicles of Narnia, The Dawn.
The Dawn.
The voyage of the Dawn Treader. It's literally on my screen.
You really like the word dawn, apparently.
I do.
That's like the dawn.
The dawn.
Edmund and Lucy Pevensey come back in this one, along with their cousin Eustace, who is played by Will something. Hold on.
I love the actor. Shoot,
I had it up.
And I love him, and I love to hate him.
Oh my god,
he's the worst. Just drove me
insane.
He was the worst.
The best that, like, you really, you haven't. I know you haven't read the third book yet, but the best introduction to his character, the line was, his name was Eustace something something, and if you knew who he was, you know he earned that name, or something along those lines.
That's great.
All right. He's played by Will Poulter. Is how you say his last name?
Will Poulter, yeah.
Yeah. And let's see here. Where did I leave off? Nope, that's Prince Caspian. Let's close that. So along with their annoying cousin Eustace, are pulled into a painting of a ship and arrive in Narnia aboard the Dawn Treader, ruled by King Caspian. No longer prince. He is now king. Caspian is on a voyage to find seven lost lords who were exiled during his uncle's rule. As they sail east, they encounter a series of strange islands, each with its own moral or spiritual challenge. Eustace is turned into a dragon because of his greed, but later restored by Aslan as in a powerful moment of transformation. The crew continues eastward, eventually reaching the edge of the world where Aslan appears to tell Lucy and Edmund they will not return to Narnia again. Which, for Lucy, would probably be the most heart-wrenching thing in the world to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I would have bawled. The journey is less about defeating a villain and more about personal growth, temptation, and spiritual discovery. I probably should have looked. You know what I didn't do on this one? I didn't look up the movie. The movie scenario and see if it's any different. Nope, it's the same. Lords banished by an evil usurper of the throne. Okay. So some differences in the book. The book is more episodical, almost like a series of mini adventures, whereas the movie is a continuous plot and has a main antagonist. The book focuses on personal transformation and faith, where in the movie it's more action driven and goal oriented. The book has no central villain. And the movie, like we said, already does, and it's more of like a traditional quest for it. Which
they got to keep the plot, the structure.
Yeah, right. It sounds like the book was made, like if you were going to turn it into media, it should have been made into a TV show because it's episodical.
There's a lot. It was a TV show, like in the 90s, like late 80s, early 90s. It actually was like a made for TV like series.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they did. I think they did all seven books. I'm not sure. I know they did at least up to the Silver Chair. I know that.
Okay. So. All right. Let's see here. Some key similarities. Lucy, Edmund, and Eustace enter through the painting. They are on a voyage with King Caspian, searching for the seven lords. Eustace is transformed into a dragon and restored in both of them. Honestly, he could have stayed a dragon. I felt like he did better as a dragon.
I mean, he admitted that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. He did. A journey toward, they are going towards the eastern edge of the world. And then Aslan, of course, doesn't appear till the end, like always. Major differences. Let's see here, that we didn't already talk about. More specifically about the villain in the movie. It's like a dark force or like a green mist, which is very Disney.
The bad guys are always green.
But this was a Disney movie. This was a Fox movie. So
I know, but it's even still funnier. That's very Disney. That's to me.
Everything's Disney. It's all Disney.
I know. Yeah. No, it just makes me laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. So in the book, they're trying to find the lost lords. In the movie, they're gathering swords instead, correct?
Sorry, just the rhyme of that made me laugh.
I know.
I was thinking that too.
We're gathering swords.
So instead of lords, they're gathering swords.
Lords and swords, lords and swords.
To stop the
and
evil.
And they're doing it in hordes.
Oh, goodness.
And we're all driving Fords. Wrapping them all up in cords.
This is just going to go on forever.
Every time I start talking, I feel like he's trying to rhyme.
He is. You can see his wheels turn in.
It is. He's trying to find something. Just go through the alphabet.
Paddling each other with boards.
Boards, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Eustace's transformation's a little different between the book and the movie. In the book, it's more gradual. The dragon transformation is supposed to be very symbolic and spiritual, whereas in the movie, much faster arc. But it does keep the emotional core of his redemption. And then the tone in most cases with Narnia is very different. Book is whimsical, reflective, and sometimes a little surreal, whereas in the movie it's darker, more intense, and higher stakes, which they did in Caspian that we talked about last week.
Yes.
And then Aslan's role is always different between the book and the movie. In the book, he's more of a spiritual, he appears at a key spiritual moment or moments. Strong symbolic and guiding presence, like always. In the movie, he's still important, but less central, more tied to the plot resolution, which again is, I feel like all three movies is they kind of keep him more towards the end focus. So some differences in the characters as they moved on. Book, Lucy is more focused on inner struggles. She finally is starting to like have some inner struggles. In the first two, I feel like she didn't. She's starting to be jealous and has some self-worth issues, which happens to a female as you get older. Movie is very similar, but it's simplified and kind of tied to a magical plot. Edmund, he's still very, in the book, he's mature and steady, just like the last book. But in the movie, he has more action than he does in the book. He kind of has to take on the role of Peter now that he's, Peter can't come back. Caspian, in the book, he's more focused on exploration and responsibility. And he's supposed to be an adult at this point, where he was a kid in the last book. In the movie, they gave him more personal stakes and emotional conflict. And then Eustace, his biggest growth, he is the biggest growth arc in both the book and the movie. But the movie keeps his transformation, but speeds it up a lot. So it's a lot shorter than the book. Big difference in, or big similarities in the themes, growth and transformation, faith and trust, overcoming temptation, and journey towards truth and purpose, where some differences are the movie externalizes conflict instead of the internal that happens in the book. We're focusing on courage and defeating darkness, and less subtle spiritual messaging. The spiritual messaging that C.S. Lewis does in the book is starting to really be watered out. Not even watered down, just watered out. They're like washing it away, which really makes me sad because those books are made that way for a reason. Because you can find...
I'll be curious to see what you... I don't remember a lot being... Like, I remember the central point of the book still carrying through the movie. I'm curious what you found to be watered out.
I don't know. I feel like the movie just kind of the themes kind of watered down as I watched them from Narnia to this one. Like Narnia, the very first Narnia was very like, I watch and I'm like, okay, I know what
everything is. Yeah.
I know what he's doing. I know the spiritual stories that are behind this. I know the theme you're trying to get across. I know what you're trying to do here. I watched On Treader and I don't see any. I really never saw much. I mean, there are small things. There's still the faith. There's still like temptation and whatnot. But there's no like strong.
Yeah, that's kind
strong
of
message, and that might be in the book, but I've never read the book.
It kind of is in the books. Like it's more of like when as the books progress, the underlying tone of like yes, this is very Christian based is still there, but it branches off into more like, here is a story. This is a story with like, it's not as allegorical. Actually, the only allegory is really in the first one. The rest are pretty much just story. Yeah, the rest are pretty much just stories with like, this could represent this, this could represent this, but it's not really meant to. It's meant to be just a story with you know, Christian undertones.
Now, because we're never going to get to the last one because they never made a movie for it.
Right.
The last battle, the final battle.
The last battle is a lot more.
Is that supposed to be Revelation? Because that's what I was told.
It does return to the original, like, allegory of the first one where everything is very much, it is pretty much taken from, like, the whatever post-trib version of the apocalypse where they stand before God's, the judgment of God, and half are taken away and forgotten, the other half are welcomed into the kingdom. Like, that is a thing, for sure.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah,
that's what I thought, books. Because I mean, I know the ending of the Pevensies. Like, I kind of read just, wikied it. I tried to find reasonable sources to tell me what happens with them. Mm-hmm. And, from what I saw, like, the, how the ending is, it's very much like a very, I wouldn't say revelation, but like, the choosing of what your afterlife is going to be like. Are you going to live with God, or are you going to be separated from him?
It comes, it kind of comes full circle in terms of structure and like allegory. But yeah, the other, really everything kind of in between that is more focused on just the individual stories.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. So I was corrected. Apparently it's not as watered down as I thought it would be because I have not read them. So, you know. Research and, sometimes is not correct.
You're right. And again, that's how I'm remembering them. It's been a while since I've read them, so it could have been more fleshed out in the book. I don't know. When you read the books, I'll be curious to see kind of what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah. They're pretty thin. They're like under 200 pages, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can finish in like a day.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be like a week or two project for myself.
Mm-hmm. I read all seven books in about a little over a month.
Okay. Yeah, I read pretty regularly. Like, I read at lunch every day at work. Mm-hmm. And so I've been getting through books a lot faster than I used to because I have an hour lunch, so I have space to read.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. So the biggest difference that my research gave me, ChatGPT gave me at the end, is the book is a spiritual journey made up of personal trials where the movie turns into a single connected quest to defeat an external evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's your guys' thoughts?
I mean, I liked it. But again...
There you go. I like
Can't
it.
Can't be mad about the book differences because didn't read the book. So, yeah, don't have an opinion there. But, yeah I mean, it's an adventure. So, you know, it was entertaining for sure. I finished it up this morning. So, it was engaging for sure. It wasn't one of those where, like, I want to be on my phone scrolling because I'm not that into it.
Yeah.
It was good. There was a lot happening in this. And the ending was much sadder than the last one. Because they actually seemed upset about not coming back. So, except Eustace.
Yeah, the ending was definitely it was very bittersweet. Because like you see this hopeful thing of the next life and all that, and then it's like, no, we can't go there yet. We have to wait. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they eventually make it there.
Eventually,
takes a while.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Oh. But.
Yeah.
I can't remember. What's the mouse's name?
Reepicheep.
Yes, I love him.
That was so sad. Oh my gosh. So at the end, like, I get it, right? Like, he's happy because that's the whole point, right? But I was just like, dang. Bye, mouse friend.
He's lived a strong, slow, steady, noble life, fully committed, and he's ready to lay down his sword and be
loved.
I love Reepicheep. He's so cute.
He's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. And his relationship with Eustace as a dragon.
Mm-hmm. You're your bestest buddies. So cute. I like that he helped them, even though they were like big enemies at the beginning. I liked that, especially the size difference. It was just great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing about like with Reba Chief's character. It's like he still saw the good in Eustace despite all his just boisterous antagonism.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. He sees the good in people.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah. I really wish they would have continued with the stories because the next one would have been Eustace, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eustace and Jill Paul.
Who's Jill Paul?
The one that was missing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
She's kind of the main... She and Eustace are like the main protagonists in the second one.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Or the fourth one, technically. The way they get to Narnia in the fourth one is really cool, though, too. They fly.
They fly?
They fly. They are picked up by a breeze, and they literally fly over an ocean. And they go. Or at least Jill... I forget if that's Eustace, if he gets there that way, but I know Jill Pole, that's how she gets there.
Wow.
I remember seeing that as a kid, and I was like, that's so cool.
So she's Mary Poppins.
No, she's blown by the winds of Aslan.
But that feels very Mary Poppins. No, I like it. Like, yeah. You fly with the wind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not of her own power. It's Aslan.
No.
But yeah, okay. In that, it is kind of... I never thought of it that way. Yes. But yeah,
I'm just thinking someone flying because of wind, and they figure it out, like... Mm-hmm. And makes you think of Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
So what's the next book called, technically? The Horse and His Boy?
The Horse and His... That's what it was called. Okay. I remember The Magician's Bridge's Nephew and The Silver Chair, and I knew there was another one, and it was The Horse and His Boy. That's what it was. That one, I think that one's like, doesn't do anything with the Pevensey family at all. Like, that goes into like...
This is set during the Golden Age of Narnia. It follows adventures of a boy named Shasta and a talking horse, Bree. As they escape the land of Calorman and journey north to Narnia.
Oh.
Uncovering a plot to invade Arkenland along the way, the story is a standalone adventure that expands the lore of Narnia.
Yeah, it's a little hard to get into at first because you're like, what is this and where is it going? But I remember it gets pretty good.
I don't know. Talking horse? They got me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ashley, for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talking horse? Give it to me.
Ashley signed up.
I'm there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, a horse and his boy.
Silver Chair,
then boy. Oh, sorry. Silver Chair, horse and his boy. Mm-hmm. And then The Magician's Nephew. The
Magician's
Nephew,
yeah.
And then The Last Battle.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, The Horse and His Boy is the one I had forgotten about.
Okay. So Silver Chair is with Eustace and Jill. Quest to find the missing Prince Rylan of Narnia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So is... No more Caspian.
I want to say he was like a descendant of Caspian, but I can't. Don't quote me. I can't remember.
Ari is Prince. Is Prince Rylan descended of Prince Caspian? Yes.
Okay.
He's the son of King Caspian the 10th.
Okay.
Caspian married a woman named Ramandu. Oh, Caspian's his dad, not descended.
Wait. Okay.
Unless there was multiple Caspians.
Yeah, because I don't remember
the first Caspian.
It sounds like they made it sound like that wasn't the same Caspian.
It has to be because apparently Prince Caspian was also known as Caspian the Seafarer. And I guess the book Dawn Treader, he was known as Caspian the Seafarer. Does that sound familiar?
That would make sense, right?
No, but yeah, it makes sense.
Because he's on a boat. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. He's rescued from the Lady of the Green Kirtle who killed his mother and enchanted him. Oh, no.
And then we get to go underground and find their lair with all the gnomes or elves or I forget what.
Oh. Interesting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Caspian marries a star? Interesting. I need to read these.
I kept saying, I mean, I feel like you would really get a kick out of a lot of these or get a lot of joy.
I know. I'm a mood reader. If I'm not in the mood for it, I kind of just move along.
That's fair.
Like, I started a book from one of my, an author that I love, but I just couldn't get into it. Like, it just, the character is driving me nuts. So I went to the bookstore and picked up a new book yesterday.
Yeah, been there.
Okay.
Even though I have, like, books upon books behind me that still need to be read, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, you're there's never going to be a shortage of them. You're always going to have books that you can...
True. Mm-hmm.
All the ones you didn't finish.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Anything else?
I enjoyed this one more than the last one, just because I feel like this one, book and movie, had more plot points that I specifically got things out of. The one thing I was going to say, we mentioned in the last episode where I was like, where we talked about the kids having to leave Narnia and growing up and all that. Basically, the central message I'm pretty sure Lewis was trying to get at, like at the end of this movie where Lucy was like, am I ever going to see Aslan again? And she's like, or something like, can you come to my world or something like that? And he said, in your world, I'm known by another name. You have to know me by that name there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I brought you here. It's like, by knowing me a little here, you can know me better there. Yeah. So that's kind of, that's how I can justify him saying, no, you're too old to come back to Narnia. You know, off again.
I forgot about that speech. Right. That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is, yeah. He's known by a different name. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's Christ, in case you guys were wondering.
Oh, yeah. I mean, spoiler.
Spoiler
alert! Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if I got up to heaven and Jesus was a lion. I'd be okay with it.
It's pretty legit.
Actually, it would make more sense to me.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, if we're talking like straight symbols and archetypes, like, you know, a lion would be a good representation of that, like, as that archetype, that character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know in certain... You know, I mean, lions have always been used to represent, like, different things in folklore and, ancient mythology and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, we're talking, like, because, like, I don't know, if we're talking images, I mean, you say the word Jesus, you have, like, one image of a guy who basically looks like me without glasses, you know?
Yeah. I never really thought of that.
Yeah.
I've been called that before, so it's like, all right. But, like, it doesn't really embody, like, I feel like what a lot of Christians don't really are aware of or know how to communicate, whereas, like, I feel like the lion is probably more closer to what was trying to be represented.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our minds, our knowledge of anything, for those listening, you might not believe in this, which is fine, but... If God in the Christian realm is real, we don't know what he looks like. He could be a lion for all we know. Like, it said we were made in his image, but it doesn't mean like he didn't like, it's not like that means copy and paste. And in his image means like what he thought we should look like. It just like an artist paints an image in their image. It's their concept. So we have no clue. The only reason we know anything of what Jesus would have looked like is because we know the region he was in, we know the region, and we know kind of the time frame. So, I'm sorry, Dan, Jesus probably did not look like you, because he would look like someone from the Middle East.
Oh, no, 100%. 100%. Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Like, no, I take no offense to that. I look like, you know, I mean, long-haired white dude looks like half of Jesus, not the actual, like, Middle Eastern guy who, you know. No, I fully embrace it, yeah.
I really wish a lot of Christians would like get that wrapped in their head that Jesus ain't white. Jesus was not white. He was Middle Eastern.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't around yet. Like, but anyways, that's
No, he was a dark man. He was a brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I'd be okay if we got there and God was like, yep, C.S. Lewis was right. I'm a lion.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very legit. Yeah.
Oh boy. Anything else?
That was good.
Yeah.
Sorry, we never got the silver chair. I'm always going to gripe about it.
I know. Yeah. Well, with maybe this new movie of Narnia will kind of spark them to finish the rest of them.
Maybe,
yeah.
Technically, and I just realized this, like, technically, if they really wanted to finish it, but, like, tie it to the original casting and everything, they could very well do The Last Battle. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to spoil it, but, yeah, no, when they all get to Asin's country at the end, like, they're all grown.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. They're all grown now. So, like, that would actually work.
Yep. Actually, the actors who play Peter and I guess now Susan, because I didn't realize she was the same age as us, are our age or my age. So they're like they're almost 40, and the rest of them are probably in their late 20s, early 30s, depending. Yeah.
It'd be pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Except for Susan, because we hate her. She likes silly things like parties and makeup and pretty dresses and silly girl.
Susan.
I'm razzing on Lewis for that, man. I'm razzing on. He was unnecessarily mean to her.
Poor Susan.
I stand by that.
Well, I mean, Susan doesn't end up like she doesn't. Believe enough, from what I understand, to go into the afterlife of Aslan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but is that what I understand? Basically, yeah.
But he wrote her to be that person who wasn't going to go.
Yeah, but he still made fun of her for liking makeup and parties and silly things. I'm like, so she likes to get nice. She likes to look nice and go to social gatherings.
Exactly.
I like that.
This was also the 50s where all men, this was the 50s where all men believed that anything a woman liked was silly.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least not, yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at the time period that he wrote this, that was men back then, especially when it came to parties. Mm-hmm. Because women did not.
Yeah, it was wrong then, and it's wrong now.
I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying that you got to also remember the time period it was written in. That's what I have to tell everyone when they talk about these Disney movies. You have to think about the time period it was created in.
Does make it.
Yes, but also acknowledge that it was not a good time.
Right. Yes, like, acknowledge it, but don't try to change it just because you don't agree with it now. Like, there is a reason it was made the way it was then.
Change it, no, call it out, yes.
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 That.
We should not do that anymore. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's why every time I'm C.S. Lewis may not be with us now, but I'm still gonna rant about it.
It's fair.
Yeah. True. Very fair.
Silly girl for liking parties and social gatherings. She can burn in hell.
I'll be honest, I do not like social gatherings or parties. I'd rather be home curled up with a book.
That's fair. Each their own.
Depends. Unless the social gathering is in Disney World, you just keep me where I need to be.
Yeah.
Very Taurus.
Oh, Taurus. Okay, I thought you said tourist.
I'm like, tourist.
Taurus.
I'm like, oh, Taurus. Yes. Very Taurus. Yes, very much so. I really do like embody. The funny thing is I do very much embody a lot of things they say Taurus is like without realizing I did until I researched it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's very me. But then I research Cancer because that's my husband. My husband is the complete opposite of an actual Cancer. It's hilarious. I'm like, see, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong.
See, I feel that same way. Like, I've read what characteristics of a Cancer are because that's what I am, and I don't identify with much of it.
No, you are not, like, everything I hear about Cancer is, like, they're very emotional and crybabies and, like, all the,
that's,
I'm like,
true, yeah.
I mean, I am emotional and I do cry, but I'm not, like, insufferable about it.
No.
My husband isn't even emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's because emotions are for women folk. Men are stoic and brr.
No, he was just raised in a household that didn't really show affection the way that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least my family does. It's very different. Very different. They're affectionate, just not in a like physical
implied
touch.
Implied love. It's like implied.
Yeah,
love.
It's more implied love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Except his mom does hug me every time she sees me, so I don't know why she doesn't hug her son. Maybe she just doesn't think her son wants
to. This is like an ongoing thing with boomer parents, I swear. Like, boomer, like, us millennials, like, we find a partner that our parents really like, and their parents are like, I'm going to keep you and get rid of my own kid. I've seen this happen with my own parents, with other people's parents. It's just like a thing.
Oh, no, not with my parents. My parents still want me.
Yeah, same. Maybe it's sort of a boy-girl thing, too.
It might be something else, yeah. Maybe. My parents are not
the
typical boomer parents.
I mean, I'm sure it's a joke, but it's still just
though.
Like an ongoing, like, Huh?
Yeah. My parents are not the typical boomer parents, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They're, like, everything I keep hearing about boomer parents, I'm like, that's not my parents. My parents did not do those things. Or still do those things. Like,
no, I agree.
Now, yes, my dad can't stand working with some younger generations because he thinks you need, like, if you're going to do a job, you be responsible and you work and you don't butt it. But they, no. I'm very lucky. I have very good parents. I am very lucky. I mean, they're my best friends outside of, like, my non-related best friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've claimed a lot of my friends as their own. Like, they would do anything for you guys.
Aww.
They've done it for Holly. Like, I don't know if you realize this. Mom kind of claimed Holly as part daughter for her when we were in Florida and around and at her wedding and stuff. Like, it just, mom kind of treats her like a daughter. She has with all my friends.
I love that. I've met your parents all twice, so.
They love you, even though you haven't met them very often. They hear about you enough that they love you. Anybody who's been friends with me that long,
yeah, they're on board.
Now, Rob, on the other hand, oh gosh, yeah, they even love Ralph. Sometimes I don't understand why.
I like Ralph.
I know. Me and Ralph, we razz each other. We're practically brother and sister.
Yeah, in a good way.
It is. Did I tell you what he did to my Coldstone app?
No.
I did not realize this until we lived here in Nebraska, because I never ordered Coldstone very often until here. We ordered it once in Nebraska, and he used my phone and we created an app, but he put his name as my name in the app. I can't change it. So the very first time I ordered Coldstone here in Ohio, because I would just go get it in Fort Wayne because it was not that far. Right. I ordered it here and I went to go pick it up. And I was saying my name, and they're like, we don't have an Ashley. We have a Ralph. I'm like, what? I open up my phone and look at the app, and it says Ralph on it. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Oh my gosh.
I screenshotted it, and I sent it to him and Holly. I'm like, seriously? And he just laughed. He's like, I forgot I did that to you. I'm like,
oh, my goodness.
So was it on purpose, or did he just not think it?
It was on purpose. He just thought I'd see it sooner.
Obviously not.
And I can't change it unless I call corporate, and I'm not calling corporate. So every time I go into Coldstone, if I like pre-order, because it's right behind us. So I'll like pre-order it so I can go pick it up.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So every time I walk in, I have to go up to the counter. I'm like, order for Ralph. And I say it with disgust. And the girls that work there know. Like, they heard. Yeah. I told them the story, and they just laughed.
That's great. Like, that's
good. That's really good. I don't know if Ralph watches this, but that's good. Good job.
That's very funny. That's really funny.
Oh, gosh. Well, Holly said she might start listening, so who knows? She might hear it and have Ralph listen.
There we go.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I think we've gotten off topic, and I think we're done. So, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed this month of Books to Media. I hope we can continue it next year. I just don't know how, unless we do something different, because I know I had another idea. But anyways, I'm rambling. Next month is Star Wars month. We're going back to Star Wars.
Yay.
But we're not doing traditional. We're not doing, like, watching movies or anything. We're doing different things. We're going to talk about our new CEO or president or whatever he's titled. Dave Filoni, so we can get some background on that. We're going to talk about the different styles of storytelling that has gone through all the Star Wars. And then I think we're still doing some sort of trivia thing. I just haven't worked it out yet. And also, we're celebrating year 6 of the Pixie Dust Twins.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing a look back at the last 6 years as well. So it's going to be a fun May.
So there's Pixie Dust Twins, and then there's Pixie Dust Twins with, because I haven't been there the whole time. So, like,
no, you have not. You started...
Technically, I started in 21, but then I was only a guest for 2021 because I was a Star Wars.
Yeah, because you did Star Wars.
Yeah.
22, yeah.
I think I'm going to say 22, you kind of became significant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. not wrong word.
Wow.
I mean, you are significant. Significant before that, but like
you. That's when you matter. Before that, you didn't matter.
No, exactly.
Consistent is the word I was looking for. Consistent.
Jeez.
You know, I love you. Yeah. So 6 years with Pixie Dust Twins, 5 years with Dan, just all sorts of things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
for sure.
All right, Pixie Dusters, we will see you next week for our take on our first Star Wars episode. Good freaking grief. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Limitless Broadcasting Network. Check out our website for information about the hosts, merch, and all of our podcasts. Production for today's episode was handled by the Dream Team, Ashley Danny and Sammy Brooksby. A final special thanks to Dan. His discerning perspective is the secret ingredient that helps us see the bigger picture.
Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried. Who actually owns Hollywood? Who makes the real money? And who's just along for the ride? So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.